Welcome to Agent Blue, your comic book explosion podcast. I'm Michael Banana III.
I'm George Green.
And today we're talking about Green Lanterns Volume 1 from Rebirth and, what are you doing?
Doctor Strange, The Way of the Weird.
Both or just one volume?
Just Volume 1 for today.
Just Volume 1?
Yeah, last time I tried to do two volumes and you only did one and mine was a lot longer, so I'm gonna break this one into two parts, especially because it is a little bit to talk about, and it's a little bit longer, so I figured it'd make it just a little easier on us.
Yeah, that episode was 1 hour and 17 minutes long.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Let's try not to reach that. Okay, so Green Lantern's Rebirth, I guess I'm gonna go first. Focuses on two characters, Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz. Simon Baz is an Arabic American, he's Muslim, and he was thought to be a terrorist, so he was in Guantanamo Bay, but he refused to give in to fear, and because of that, the Guardians granted him a Green Lantern ring. So, of course, the American government was like, oh, I guess he's not a terrorist. Okay.
Yeah, that's a bit of a mess up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if the Guardians are just like, oh, he's a good guy, the government clearly did something wrong.
No, I mean, the Green Lanterns have been established already in this universe. So, yep. so the government kind of knows about him.
They made him do a similar thing to probation. He's allowed to do the Green Lantern stuff so long as he comes in for checkups. Jessica Cruz, however, she deals with an extreme amount of anxiety. To the point where she hasn't even left her house in 3 years.
Whew.
Yeah, she's just been living in her apartment. And the only reason she left her apartment in this story is because she got kicked out. So, actually, the funny thing about Jessica is she got her ring because of the fact she sacrificed her life for Barry Allen the Flash. She didn't die. But because of that, they were like, oh, you overcame great fear. Well, you're a Green Lantern now. Of course, she's not really good at using it because she's not good at overcoming her fear.
And, just kind of like a one-off kind of thing.
Yeah, she jumped right in front of whatever needed to happen, and that's what occurred. She was able to get a Green Lantern ring. She was actually being possessed by the Power Ring of Power Ring from the Crime Syndicate. Of Earth-3, when that happened, and she broke free of it. So, due to these two different personalities, Simon and Jessica, they butt heads a lot. To the point where their rings both communicated to them that there was an issue, and they went to the place and saw that it was a Manhunter. You know, the first attempt of a universal police force by the Guardians before the Lantern Corps. And so they had to fight him. But they failed, and it would turned out to be a training exercise put on by none other than the most well-known Green Lantern of Earth, Hal Jordan. And he's like, if you're not going to work together, give me your power rings. Not power rings, sorry. Give me your lanterns. And he grabs them and shoves them together and forces them to be partners. They have to both be present to charge their rings. They have to work together now. Like, they're forced to. Of course, this wouldn't be an issue if the Red Lanterns weren't up to something right now.
Oh, jeez.
They had built a Hell Tower. That's what they called it. Instead of going up, it's going down. Like, it's eternal downwardness. And the more they're around, the more rage everybody on Earth is going to get. So that means Jessica's family, they start going crazy over rage. Literally, the smallest detail. Like, you said you would be there for me your whole life, but those 3 years you weren't. That type of thing. They tried to kill Jessica.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they tried to kill Jessica, but...
No, that's because of the Red Lanterns there.
Yeah, the Red Lanterns. Beautiful, right? And so, they have to fight along that. Simon has to deal with a lot of stuff. And hysterically enough, this is actually surprising. Because as far as I'm aware, the Blue Lanterns are the only one capable of doing this. Completely dispelling the powers of the yellow, red, and orange rings. But Simon just went like, boom, and completely eradicated the hatred out of one of the Red Lanterns.
Some power.
Right? I thought it was only Blue Lanterns. Like, it's been established it was only Blue Lantern, but he had the willpower to do it. Of course, Jessica, not being able to overcome fear, she becomes overcome by rage, and then Simon has to fight her on low power because they need each other to
charge
the batteries. And so, this is literally what occurs. Like, the whole thing is them trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, and essentially, like, the beginning of a buddy cop story. You know, they hate each other, they work together, they realize they're okay with each other at the end. And this is literally, that's the plot. And at the end of the story, she's finally able to make some form of construct. She overcomes her fear enough to make a form of a construct, but it's nothing like Simon's been able to do, or Hal's been able to do, or any of the Green Lanterns. Because of her anxiety, she's unable to make it better than it should be, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. I mean, especially kind of having to deal with anxiety like that, I figured having high anxiety, your willpower wouldn't always be up to par.
For the ring.
Especially for the ring, yeah. You wouldn't really have much of a power level. And not really being able to overcome fear that well either.
Yeah.
You know, she's probably real low on the totem pole for Green Lantern powers.
Yeah, and the only reason she got it was because the entire story, she's just like, they made a mistake. It definitely shouldn't be me. I shouldn't have this because I can't overcome fear. I'm an anxious mess ball type of thing. But, you know, over and over again, they were like, no, we didn't make a mistake. We did not make a mistake. You are the Green Lantern of Sector 2814. And, of course, at the end, Simon and Jessica win. With the Red Lanterns vowing to return. However, the one that Simon removed the hatred from becomes an undercover agent in a way. She is now going to attempt to defeat the Red Lanterns from the inside.
I can't wait to see how that one goes. She's probably gonna die.
Most likely. I don't know what happens in.
But it's gonna be like a savior story. She's gonna save someone's life and die in the process, making her like the ultimate hero. You know how
the ultimate redemption story.
Ultimate redemption story.
Start off from working with essentially Satan and then turning into the good guy of the story.
Pretty much, yeah.
Ain't that the story of Paul?
That's like every story.
Every story in the world. Oh my
goodness. Good story. Good storytelling. You want to make a villain into a hero, you gotta give him a small redemption, give him a big redemption, and then kill him.
Yeah.
But then they become the hero at the end because they died, you know?
Yeah, they died for a cause that they support.
Yeah. That makes you an ultimate hero. So is there anything else you want to add on top of that?
Well, that's pretty much the meat of the story.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's pretty much the whole thing. I mean, there's, like, side stories, like, during the entire time, Simon is trying to make sure he has this one toy completely safe because it's for his nephew.
He's making sure it's there. He's like, no, don't touch it.
He gives it to the nephew, and he's just like, Why is it broken? He's like, it's not broken. It's battle damaged. It helped me fight the evil guys. And he's like, super cool. It was a side story, but I mean, it's kind of cute.
It's great. That's
how the kid felt about it at the end.
All right. Well, I guess I'll jump into Doctor Strange. So, Doctor Strange, all the way the weird. Definitely is a bit of a weird story. I mean, I haven't really read a whole lot of Doctor Strange. But I wanted to get into it because I know it deals with a lot of mystical side of things.
The occult, yeah. If you will.
But the story also deals with the end days of magic as well. So it kind of opens up with Doctor Strange battling these creatures. And he's in some plane of existence in his astral form. And it's a little weird because like there's a bunch of creatures and then there's like a human-formed lady. And Doctor Strange's like, she's into me. Yeah, and then he defeats all these monsters and now he's like making out with this lady. What? And then he comes back to his human form and he tells these people that he helped out that everything's fine now, you know, because it was like their son was having an issue and they went and saw Doctor Strange. And then he's making his way home and he's kind of telling the story of who he is, you know, how he people come to him when they have problems that, you know, normal doctors can't fix. Which it's a good person to have.
Kind of falls into the wheelhouse.
Yeah. But he's also saying that there's some even weirder things going on
than usual,
you know.
Hey, it's just the way of the weird.
It's just the way of the weird, you know? And he's walking around and he's got his third eye open and he's showing you, you know, everything that goes on in the world that you don't see throughout the day. And he's like, you know, next time you see a crazy person on the street, he goes, maybe he's a wizard and just trying to save your life, you know? Because there's a scene where Doctor Strange is making all these weird movements and people are walking by him and they're like, oh, what a weirdo, but he's getting eaten by like a interdimensional slug.
Yeah.
And during this little fight with the slug, he's noticing some of his spells aren't working. So he's a little shaken up by this. You know, it doesn't throw him off too much, but he's
Sorcerer Supreme. He should be able to do these spells.
Yeah, but he should not have a problem with these spells. So he decides on his way home to stop for a drink. So he goes into where all of the sorcerers of the world go into. It's a secret bar, the bar with no doors. And he goes in there and he meets the shaman, Scarlet Witch, and Dr. Voodoo are all there. And they're having a drink together, having a small conversation about, you know, his events of the day. And he's talking to the shaman about these demons. And the shaman's like, what are these interdimensional beings doing so close to our plane of existence? And Dr. Strange is like,
they shouldn't be there.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering the same thing. He's like, they shouldn't be there. And he was like, they're running from the coming slaughter, you know. And Dr. Strange was just confused by it, you know. And then the Prince of Magic comes along and tells Dr. Strange that your bill is coming due, you know. And he's not talking about his bar tab. He's talking about the cost of his magic, because all magic has a cost.
Yep. Very classic saying.
Which this story really dives into, you know, very deeply, that all magic does have a cost. And for Dr. Strange, his cost is very high. And he hasn't really been paying his dues very much. So, as the story progresses, we move forward. Dr. Strange meets a librarian who is having some other mystical problems of her own. And these little creatures are coming out of a little mouth in her head. And Dr. Strange expels them from her. And they end up running amok through his place. And, yeah, he has a little bit of trouble, and that's when you kind of run into Wong in the story, and he's cooking Doctor Strange up some weird food and beating up these little creatures at the same time. And then Doctor Strange ends up catching them all and putting them inside of his head, and then you notice that he's got like these weird eyeballs and mouths all over
his... Doctor Strange's own head?
In Doctor Strange, he puts them in his own head. He took them out of the woman's head, and they ran around his house, so he's like, crap, I gotta collect them all again and put them in my head.
What good does that do? That just probably hurts him.
Well, he put him in his head, and he was telling the librarian that they're psychic creatures. They feed off your psyche. And Dr. Strange is like, I have a very strong psychic block. He goes, they're going to end up starving in my brain and dying. He goes, it's the safest place for them to be. They're not going to cause any more harm. And he tells this lady, you know, I like you. I can use some help in my library because it's a mess. He goes, if you want to come back, you can. And if you don't, I don't blame you. Things are weird around here. So we continue with the story, and now things are really starting to get weird. Creatures that don't belong anywhere near this plane of existence are really starting to come forward. So Dr. Strange goes back to the bar with no doors, and decides to kind of get everybody that's there together. You know, the shaman, Dr. Voodoo, Scarlet Witch, the Prince of Magic, and there's a few other odds and ends, you know, people there to join in the conversation. And Dr. Strange is like, something's coming, you know, and I want to use our collective to see what's going on. And he tells them that he's trying to find this other Sorcerer Supremes of the other dimensions, but he can't find them. He let out a mystic call that only Sorcerer Supremes can answer and can hear.
And they're all dead, right?
None of them showed up. He goes, no one came. So, you know, he's starting to get nervous now, you know. You know in the story that the Empyrical are the ones killing all of the Sorcerer Supremes, killing all the magic, but obviously Doctor Strange doesn't know this. The last Sorcerer Supreme besides Doctor Strange dies during the story, during everything that's going on. So Doctor Strange is going on a bit of an adventure, going to like all these mystical growth areas where just the magic is flowing in drones, and they're all barren. They're all destroyed. There's no magic. There's no booby traps. There's nothing there. And this is where he finds a majority of the Sorcerer Supremes, you know, dead, executed, killed, slaughtered.
Where have I heard that similar story before?
So,
God Butcher, last week.
So, you know, he's opening up a magical wavelength, and he's warning everybody he's wrong. The enemies that he says are coming are here already. He goes, we're running late. We're running behind. You know, all the magic is now disappearing. Doctor Strange's spells are not working. The mystical objects that he's using aren't working. He's fighting a wolf with a sword, and he stabs the wolf. The sword stops working, and then the sword shatters. You know, he's trying to use everything that he can. You know, none of his spells are working anymore. And he gets lucky. One spell works, and he saves his life, and he gets out of there. But he's now they're in trouble, because nothing's working. And then these mechanical, he describes them as weapons, but they're kind of like creatures, because they move, but they're like spheres.
Mm-hmm.
They're going around destroying everything. And Doctor Strange is just going around just beating the piss out of these things. And we go over to Wong, and Wong is going to the Himalayas. And he travels up to the Himalayas, and he's talking to, it looks like to be a monk. It doesn't really describe who it is. It's just a guy wearing a mask. And he's like, this is the secret, you know, the secret monks for Doctor Strange. He doesn't even know these guys exist. Because Doctor Strange has such a high cost to bear for his magic that Wong has been setting up his, like, disciples to help absorb this cost. Because Wong's saying that Doctor Strange uses so much magic, you know, especially trying to defeat Dormammu. He's using Atlantean black magic to defeat him last time. And last time he used Atlantean black magic, it almost killed him. His eyes were bleeding black blood. His mouth was dripping black blood. And, you know, Wong saves him. And Doctor Strange wakes up like nothing ever happened. He's like, Wong, what did you do? You know, what did you do? The cost was so high. He goes, I should have been dead. Wong was like, I couldn't let you die. He goes, but you don't have to worry about that. And this is what he did. You see,
he's setting up essentially sacrifices.
He's setting up a sanctuary that's full of monks that are ready to die
in
the name of Doctor Strange.
Place.
You know, they're absorbing all this cost of his magic, and this monk is telling him Wong that the cost is getting too much to bear for even there's like 30 monks here, and the cost is getting too much to bear. These monks are doing like 13 days. Straight, with no rest, just absorbing some of this cost of Doctor Strange's magic. I mean, Doctor Strange himself has like other dimensional ulcers and like interdimensional herpes and stuff from this magic. I don't think it's actually herpes, but it's extreme. You know, he's got some extreme problems. He can't eat normal people food anymore. He's eating like bugs and like weird creatures, you know, just to sustain himself. And
sounds like a rough life.
Yeah. And while Wong is talking to this monk, you know, we're trying to figure out a solution to this problem. The Empyrical show up. You know, their weapons of magic destruction show up, and Wong's like, it's time to fight. You know, we have to we have to protect these monks, we have to protect the magic of what's left in this world, you know, and Doctor Strange is off in another plane fighting these things too, you know, trying to protect the magic, and they all end up back at the Sanctum Sanctorum, and there's a giant sphere floating over the bay, and there's all these you know, weapons all over, these Imperial, they're coming in full force, and Doctor Strange uses the Atlantean black magic and wipes them all out again, you know, one last time, you know, hoping to stop them for good. And, you know, he does stop them. But then at the end of the book, you notice that was only the first wave. And the Imperial are coming, and their high overseer...
The Imperials are coming.
Their high overseer is here, and he's coming, and he goes, I want all the magic on this world destroyed. But he goes, save the Sorcerer Supreme for me. And then that's how the book ends.
Well, shoot.
Yeah, it's a very, very big cliffhanger there, because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, they think... You know, all the sorcerers of the world think, oh, okay, we've done it. You know, we stopped the coming invasion.
But the evil guys behind the scenes are like, ha ha ha. We've only just begun,
yeah. So, another thing to add, which I don't think it's not a big thing in this story, but I feel like it's going to definitely show up in the next story. Doctor Strange kept mentioning something is in the basement. He needs to go to the basement, you know. He needs to go to the basement and disperse some of his cost of his magic into the basement. And Wong is highly advising him against this. He goes, I don't know what's going to happen to what's in the basement if you keep doing this. You know, they don't explain it. They don't say what's going on. But why would you mention it if it's not going to show?
So I'm getting from this is, for whatever reason, Doctor Strange is the most active Sorcerer Supreme that's ever been in this universe. If he's the one dealing with... If he has all these problems to the point where he needs us disciples to take on the cost, that must be a lot more damage than any other Sorcerer Supreme before him.
I mean, it definitely does show the cost of magic, for sure. But it doesn't go into any explanation of, you know, paying your dues like that. You know, it's Doctor Strange. I think it's just Doctor Strange doesn't pay his dues like he's supposed to, you know? I think he just kind of lets it destroy him.
Mystical taxes?
I think, yeah, pretty much.
Mystical, you know? Tax evasion, guys.
Because everybody else he talks to doesn't have the problems that he has, you know? Everyone's just kind of like, Doctor Strange, you just need to pay your tab, you know? Like, you haven't been paying your bill. So, and like, you see Doctor Strange is definitely paying the cost, but they're saying that, you know, he doesn't pay it, so...
He should have paid it in minimal amounts as it happened.
He should have been paying it sooner than later. Yeah, it's too late now for him to pay most of his...
He essentially did credit card all the way to Christmas, and now it's January, you gotta pay that.
Yeah, yeah. He's racked up some bills. When he was training, he was talking about the cost of magic and with the original Sorcerer Supreme. And the Sorcerer Supreme kept telling him, you know, punch me, punch me. And Dr. Strange is like, I can't, my hands are destroyed. And he's like, just punch me, watch what happens. He goes to punch him, and he punches him and then just throws up uncontrollably. And the Sorcerer Supreme was like, this is the cost of magic. He goes... You know, when you hit somebody, it's going to hurt. He goes, that's essentially what magic is doing. He goes, you have to pay the price of the magic that you're using. You know, and I just don't think that Doctor Strange was paying his price properly.
Well, according to this book, he's not.
He hasn't been, yeah. And, you know, everyone's kind of blaming him for what's going on in the story because he hasn't really been...
Paying his bar tab,
as they put it. So I definitely can't wait to read part two of the story, and see what's going on. And I definitely did start it.
You definitely started
because
it.
I couldn't leave it at that much of a cliffhanger and not start the next story to see what's going on. It was killing me.
I immediately started DC, the New Frontier. the second I finished that, my Green Lantern story. But yeah.
I mean, we do have a little bit more to talk about. There's been some recent releases.
There's also, you know, the Jesus notes.
We're a little bit behind, you know.
In what's going on.
What's going on. Definitely due to my leave of absence due to medical reasons.
Yep.
But some recent events. Infinity War trailers dropped. I've watched it about a billion times. I've watched everything that I could on it. I have friends that have just been religiously watching it over and over and over and
non-stop.
Over and over again. I went over to my buddy's house the day after it released. He watched it about 16 times while I was there.
We went to the comic book shop, and then he was just sitting there on the couch.
Yeah.
He was just sitting there on the couch, just watching it, reading the old Hulk comics, and then as soon as he finished, he was just like, well, I'm going to watch the Infinity Wars trailer, and then, like, 6 minutes later, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm still watching the trailer. I'm like, it's, like, less than a minute long. He's like, I know.
Yeah. So, that's definitely something to talk about. We're not going to get too far into that. I just wanted to make a mention to it. I'm pretty excited for that.
I'm excited about that.
I can't wait to see some more stuff about it, you know. I like that, you know, everything's starting to come to a head now. You know, this has been 22 movies, I think.
There's 20 movies out right now. The Avengers 4 and 5 will make it 22. But, of course, there's also the Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man is what I'm referring to as the Spider-Verse story. Yeah. That's happening next Christmas. Not really a fan of the animation. It looks too much like the Emoji Movie. But
it's definitely Disney animation.
It's
Sony. I think it's gonna be a little kid, you know, pointed. But I still feel like I'm definitely gonna go see it anyways.
It's the Spider-Verse, dude. That was the comic that I like that got me back into Spider-Man. The Spider-Verse story was the one that got me back into Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was definitely a good read.
I want to see. I don't know, I want to hear them get Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield to play at least one of the versions of Spider-Man.
When it comes time to the movie being soon to be released, we'll definitely cover the Spider-Verse story.
Yeah, but as for now, that's next Christmas.
That's a year in the making.
That's next Christmas. Come back to this episode next Christmas, and then listen to what I just said, and then listen to what we're saying next Christmas.
Yeah.
But there's also the Jesus notes I have for the Green Lanterns. And as I was listening and talking to you about the Doctor Strange, there were definitely some biblical things I thought of in the discussion.
I mean, I did make it pretty easy for you. I feel like Doctor Strange and Thor are both very simple characters to connect to.
They're part of the occult.
Yeah.
In a sense. Yeah. And the occult is very prevalent in making Jesus notes.
Easy.
Yeah. So, anyways, as for the Jesus notes for Green Lantern, see, you're watching Jessica Cruz deal with her anxiety and fear, and it's a big thing throughout the storyline. And you watch it go through, and she's unable to make these projections and constructs. She wasn't able to save her sister when she was one of the people infected by the rage. And, you know, it really brings me back to the Bible, because what you see is, like, for instance, 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, what you got there is the idea that so long as you recognize who is in you and the power you have inside, you can overcome this fear. And it's something that the Guardians have been telling her the entire story. They're over here like, you have it in you. You are capable. You are definitely capable of overcoming your fear. But she is so timid, she's not paying attention to that fact. Something that there's a few verses that I thought of and I have written down about it, like Josiah 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Again, one thing she forgets is the fact that the guardians will be there to help her. She has a partner. She has the ring. If she learns how to use the constructs and create them properly, she can be a great, strong force. And the guardians already view her that way. And why else would they have made it, given her the ring, if they didn't realize and gave her what she could have done to do so? As for the part in the story where Simon is able to disperse the rage from the Red Lantern, that brought me to Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, he was so overpowered with his hope and will, he was not ready to die. She was about to kill him when that happened, and he just dispersed that rage immediately. And it really just shows the, if you have that strength within you, if you know where it comes from and you know how to do it, you can do anything. Like, you know, Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's more to that verse, but right there, and with what the story shows, you get the sense of what the full verse means and what it is. As for Doctor Strange, it really brought me... These stories keep bringing me back into the main story that I like to talk about, like what I did with the Dark Knight's DC Metal story. We're not so much talking about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse talking Revelation. We're talking about, like, the spirits that aren't supposed to be there, you know, in the end days, the dead will rise, the Antichrist will appear, these things that occur, it's very similar to what Doctor Strange says is occurring in this story. Not Doctor Strange didn't say it, but is what is happening to Doctor Strange. The price of him paying it kind of makes him kind of the reverse of Jesus in this story, where Jesus is the one taking on the sins and pain of the many. We have the many taking on the sins and pains of Doctor Strange so that he may continue. That was just a reverse thing that I thought of immediately once you said that. I was just like, huh, you got disciples, but the disciples are not doing what, you know, the biblical disciples were. But what do you expect? The main character is, you know, magic, and he's definitely one of the arrogant type of characters where he doesn't want to take it all for himself. If somebody's willing to take it for him, he's gonna do that.
Well, he doesn't even know about the
He doesn't know it, but if he found out, would he really be opposed to that?
Not sure. Wong won't tell him. Wong didn't tell him. Wong refuses to let him know because he doesn't want him to know. Because he doesn't think that he's going to let him continue.
He would rather...
He doesn't want to cause harm to others, you know. He would rather either take it all for himself. Because, like, even in, like, the little short snippets of him helping people, most of the time, like you saw with the librarian, he took her pain from her and put it upon himself.
He wants to be that person.
He'd rather bear her pain than let her go on with that.
But if he can ward it off for a while, he will.
He's got that bit of arrogance to him.
I mean, why else would he be part of the Illuminati in the Marvel Universe?
Exactly.
Look at everybody in the Illuminati. Each one of them is slightly...
They're all a little bit of arrogance in there.
Just a bit arrogant.
Just a lot.
But, so yeah, those were the things about Jesus that these stories really reminded me of. I mean, we could talk about what, you know, that last story that happened in the DC Metal with the Batman Who Laughs, but other than that...
I didn't read it.
You didn't read it?
No, I didn't read it.
You don't know what happened?
No idea. Not even in the slightest. No. I haven't been keeping up on the DC Metal.
Well, the last story that came out was the Batman Who Laughs. The next one comes out in... The next DC Metal storyline comes out in 6 days, I think. It comes out the... Let's see. No.
They're not going to hear this till Monday.
Yeah. It comes out on the 13th or 20th of this month.
The 13th or the 20th?
Yes, it's either this...
It's a little bit of a gap. It's a week difference.
Yes, it's a week difference, but I mean, it's either this week or next week. It's really not...
When you put it that way, it doesn't seem that long.
Yes, this week or next week, the next story comes out. I mean, I could tell you what happens in that story if you want to.
Okay. I mean, we got a lot of time. I mean, it's a short episode.
Yeah. It's about the same length as our first one. About 30 minutes.
Yeah, but then we've been popping out 45-minute to an hour episodes after that.
Yeah, I guess. They kept getting longer. Okay, so I'm just going to, give you the brief synopsis then. The story starts off with the Joker and Batman fighting, per usual. And the Joker wins. By letting him die, the Joker dies, and that's exactly what he wanted. Because he put something in Batman that if the Joker dies, it'll rewrite Batman in a way. And so he's becoming more violent and more... the Joker morals.
So we're talking like Ben Affleck Batman branding people and beating the piss out of them, starting to get angry.
Yes. And then he brings all of the Bat family in. Batman does this. He brings all the Bat family in and they fight. They fight because, he was training and then he was just like, he starts laughing. They're like, what's wrong? He's like, he tells them what happened. They're like, well, we can help you. We can help you. And he's like, no, you don't get it. I didn't call you here to help me. I called you here to kill you. And he sprays them all with bullets. Like, he just, like, kills them all. The entire Bat family just dead. And he just starts laughing. And, he gives Superman black kryptonite, which makes him go crazy. And he kills Lois and his son. He makes Superman kill Lois and his son and then kills Superman. And he makes all the he uses essentially the contingency plans that Batman has for the Justice League, but twists it so it kills them all. And then, of course, Barbados shows up and is like, hey, you want to, Want to have some fun? Here's the other Batman in the Dark Multiverse. Here's what you need to know. Go find them all. And that's pretty much what happened. So we got the answer. It's not gender-swapped Flashpoint versions. It's not the Joker killed Batman and became Batman. No, it's Joker let himself die and Batman carried on
so
Joker morals.
It's pretty much just the Joker succeeding at what the Joker's always wanted to do.
Yes.
So, like, we've just been overlooking it. It's just a little too much. We were just thinking some craziness happened.
And it's just like, nope.
No, like, it's just kind of like, this is what would happen if the Joker won.
You know the Tim Drake story in Batman Beyond where after the Joker, when he made Robin the little baby Joker, Jay Jr., and then he grows up in Batman, Return of the Joker, and Tim Drake is the Joker. Kind of similar to what happened. But he's Batman, and he knows he was Bruce Wayne, but he's just like...
It's crazy.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. I didn't really come up with any biblical notes for that one. Because I was just too... Wow. How did I overlook this? This is like the obvious thing in the world.
Obvious answer.
I mean, if I really wanted to, I mean, yeah, I guess you can consider Joker as Satan and Batman as the rest of us, and Satan possesses us with sin, blah, blah, blah. Pretty much the simple story of sin and trying to overcome it. But as humans, we fail and fall short, which is why we need Jesus.
Batman has no Jesus.
Batman doesn't have Jesus.
He has more devils.
He has more demons in him. And then he creates crows, which are just little baby robins. Like robins, but they're all, like, evil. And that's it. That's the end of the story. So it appears that we are done with everything that we have to talk about today. I did my Green Lanterns, the Jesus notes. You did Doctor Strange. I did the Jesus notes again. And then talked a little bit about the movies coming up.
DC Metal. Yep.
And now we are here.
All right.
At the very end.
Very end, very end. All right. Well, I hate to see you guys go. From us here at Agent Blue, I'm George.
I'm Michael Bonanno III. And peace.